Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Jesus made several references to the kingdom of God during his earthly ministry. What was he talking about when he talked about the kingdom of God? Was he talking about going to heaven, or was he talking about the kingdom of God being established here on the earth? We can readily see from the scriptures that the heart and core of Jesus' message centered on the kingdom of God and what you must do to enter into the kingdom of God. The gospel according to Mark makes these two points quite clear. In Mark 1, verse 14, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." The word gospel comes from the Greek euangelion, which means the good news, the glad tidings. Jesus came preaching the glad tidings, the good news of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel." In order for you to be in the kingdom of God, you have to repent and believe the gospel, the glad tidings, the good news about the kingdom of God and how you enter into the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus instructs us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he says that all these other things, all the worldly needs, will be added unto you. "Take no anxious thought for tomorrow," Christ says, "for if you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the other things will take care of themselves." So the number one priority of all peoples around the world should be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yet how many times do you hear ministers mention the kingdom of God? And we even have at the present time ecumenical movements going on that are sponsored by various religious groups in which they're trying to unite the religions of the world and say that they all serve the same God, yet they do not serve the same God. They do not have the same basis of faith. Ministers talk about going to heaven or going to hell, but you seldom hear them talking about the kingdom of God. Christ never emphasized going to heaven or hell. He emphasized the kingdom of God. Over and over in Christ's ministry, he emphasized what one must do to enter into the kingdom of God. Note the Lord's Prayer. "After this manner, therefore, pray you, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You see in this model prayer, the kingdom is mentioned twice. One, praying that the kingdom would come, and then saying that the kingdom is yours. The will of God will not be done on earth until the kingdom of God is established on this earth. Are you praying for the kingdom of God to come to this earth just as Jesus prayed? Or do you have the idea that so many have that the kingdom of God is off somewhere in the heavens? The gospel according to Matthew does use the term kingdom of heaven. The preposition of is genitive of origin, that is, it marks the source from which anything has its origin. Humans are called sons of men, since the origin of humans is a human being. The origin of the kingdom of God is from the heavens. God's throne is in the heavens. The source of the kingdom of God is in the heavens. The word kingdom has to do with sovereignty. God is the great sovereign over the entire universe. Remember once again the Lord's Prayer. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." At the present time, God is allowing the kingdoms of this earth to be influenced and largely controlled by Satan and his agents, Satan and the demons and human beings who are deceived into being his pawns, and Satan is deceiving the whole world. And one of the main reasons why Satan is able to deceive the whole world is because people will not open the pages of their Bible and begin to go to the real source. For those who would come to God must first of all believe that he is, This is Hebrews 11:6. The beginning point of faith is to believe that God exists. And then Paul continues in Hebrews 11:6, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. After Christ was baptized, he was led away into the wilderness to be tried and tested of Satan the devil. In one of these trials, Satan took Christ up onto a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to Christ, "All these things will I give you if you'll fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus unto him, "Get you hence, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." In all of the trials and tests, Jesus rebuked Satan with the word of God. The word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the thoughts and intents of the heart of men. So if you really want to have one of the greatest spiritual weapons of all time, then you need to gird your loins with the word of God. This verse shows, though, that Satan has been given great power at the present time, that he offered the kingdom of this world to Christ. But God is going to answer one of these days the words of the model prayer, and eventually his will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven, and the kingdom of God is going to be established over this earth, and Satan and the demons are going to be bound, and the incorrigibly wicked are going to be burned in the lake of fire, which is the second death, from which there is no resurrection. God and Christ are going to assume their ultimate sovereignty over the earth when the seventh angel begins to sound. You know, one of the reasons why people are so deceived today is they have some kind of emotional feelings about their loved ones and life after death, and they hear a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Some go to church. Some go to church a lot. Some of them even read their Bibles a lot. But most people don't open the pages of their Bible to see what it really says, and they read only selected passages, and they don't really understand the whole counsel of God. The Apostle John describes the time when the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of God in Christ. So this means that obviously life is going to continue on this earth when Jesus Christ comes again, and the kingdom of God is going to be established over the earth. This is Revelation 11 and verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And where is he going to reign? Revelation 5:10 says, "And he has made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Revelation 5:10, you can read it. The kingdom of God is not just limited to sovereignty and government over the earth and the universe. The kingdom of God is from God and of God. The King, the great God, our loving Father, wants to share his glory, who he is and what he is, with all the sons of men, so that they will be sons of God on the God plane. Remember, Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. The Greek word for gospel is evangelion, meaning glad tidings or good news. The best news you can possibly ever hear is the fact that God created humans so they could become spirit-born sons of God in the kingdom of God. This is the great mystery of the gospel. That is how humans can become spirit beings in the kingdom of God. Note what the Apostle Paul writes concerning these precious promises in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship." Old King James says adoption. It is sonship. The Greek word is huiothesia. It literally means sons of God. It is sonship. You've received the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." The reason that sons is because just as you come out of the loins of your parents, that you are of their seeds. Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit from the Father into our very being, and God the Father begets us with his Spirit. And at the resurrection, we are resurrected, we are raised, we are born into the family of God. Verse 16, Romans 8:16, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You see the great, precious, exceedingly great promises here. Whatever God is, we're going to inherit. It says, heirs of God. Note it carefully. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 concerning Jesus Christ and his sonship. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Remember the good news, the glad tidings of the gospel of God about the kingdom of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Revelation 1:5 says that Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. So in that sense, resurrection is equated with birth. He goes on to say, by whom, that is through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. Notice it's obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Yes, we have people who are preaching, just only believe, just believe, come down the aisle, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, just say, I believe, and that's all there is to it. And brethren, we are not really searching the Scriptures diligently, seeing whether or not these things be true. It's time we open the pages of the Bible to really see what God says. Then Paul writes in Romans 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive, quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. So it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He will raise our bodies from the dead. If we're raised to life by the same Spirit that the Father raised Jesus Christ, we can be no less, on no less plane of existence than Christ. Remember clearly what Paul states in Romans 8:17, that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And when we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the question, just what is the kingdom of God? If you would really like to understand what God is doing here on this earth, his great plan of salvation, then you need to enroll in our free Bible study course. Free Bible study course of 12 beautifully designed lessons that will take you through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you'll come to understand who God is, what is his purpose, who man is, what is his purpose, and why you draw breath. Yes, the times indeed are critical, crucial times in which we are living, and you need to be prepared for what lies ahead, but most of all, you need to understand what the kingdom of God really is and how you can enter into the kingdom of God. All you have to do to enroll in the free Bible study course is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And we will also send you the free booklet, The story of Jesus, the real story of Jesus Christ. All you have to do to receive the free literature is to call the toll-free number. Once again, the toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And we will send you the Bible study course and the full-length book, Jesus Christ, the real story, so you can come to really understand what life is all about and what the kingdom of God is all about, and how you can enter into it. So call that toll-free number right now. The toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to world news and prophecy. We have seen in the first segment of the program that Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, the glad tidings, the good news of the kingdom of God, and how you enter into that kingdom. He said in Mark 1 in verses 14 and 15 that we need to repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of God has to do with sovereignty. We have seen in the first segment of the program that the kingdom of God is to be established here on the earth. The very model prayer of Jesus Christ says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And at the present time, as God is allowing Satan, the demons, and those who will cooperate with Satan being deceived because they will not let the glorious light of the gospel shine through, they're blinded by Satan's deceptions. And you will be blinded and remain blinded unless you open the pages of your Bible and you come to really understand yourself what the Bible really says. In resurrection, we have seen that we will be glorious, radiant spirit beings, that we will be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that by the same Spirit He raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He will also quicken our mortal bodies and give us eternal life. More insight into what we shall be like in resurrection is given by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned and like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to endure all things or subdue all things unto Himself. In 1 John chapter 3, we're told that we shall see Him as He is. Right now, the world doesn't really understand, but it says that we shall see Him as He is. As we have already noted in the first segment of the program as well, that we are going to rule and reign on earth. Notice Revelation 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and have made unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Revelation 5:10. Why won't people read and believe the words of the Bible? Remember what Jesus Christ said when He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God? He said, "Repent and believe the gospel." If you're going to believe the gospel, you have to believe every last word in the book. So the kingdom of God, as we are seeing here, is a family of spirit beings who will rule and reign over all the earth and the universe. Satan and the devil and all things that oppose the kingdom of God will be put away. As the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him." Let's note now the biblical definition of the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Are you experiencing peace and joy in your life? Are you pursuing righteousness? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Or are you on a materialistic pursuit, yet maybe you have a lot of nice things, but somehow within you there's a void, there's an emptiness, there's the realization that something is missing in your life. And on the other hand, it may be that you don't have material things, but at the same time, you have a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of grief, a lot of misery in your life. And whatever your socioeconomic status is, you can have the joy and peace that comes from the Spirit of God dwelling within you. The kingdom of God will focus, when it comes to this earth, it will focus on healing the world of all the pain and suffering that plagues the peoples of the world right now. But you don't have to wait for the kingdom of God to come. You can begin to experience these things right now. What are the things in your life that cause you the most grief, worry, and concern? Is it the environment? Is it your financial situation? Is it the food you eat? Is it the geopolitical situation that is extant in the world? These are things to be concerned about, and there's much there that we need to watch and to pray and to be ready for. The geopolitical scene is indeed frightful, with Korea saying it already has nuclear weapons and Iran saying that they're going to continue pursuing uranium enrichment, the next step before producing atomic weapons or nuclear weapons. Russia and China have forged a new alliance and have recently participated jointly in extensive war games. The volatile situation in Iraq continues to burn almost out of control. The situation in Israel and the so-called quest for peace is a powder keg ready to blow at any time. Or what about terrorism? Do you lose sleep worrying whether or not you will be a victim of terrorism? I doubt it. Some of the peoples in other parts of the world might. Are you worried about the upset weather conditions? I know I worry about that. I've offered many prayers for God asking for rain in our part of the world, but upset weather conditions are not my greatest worry or concern. I remember my grandmother's inordinate fear of the weather. During thunderstorms, she would walk the halls and talk to God and gather us around her. But just like Job states in the book of Job, that which I feared has come upon me. She was killed by a deadly tornado that swept in from the deathly dark western skies one April evening. Even though all of these things can cause anxiety and worry, are these the things that worry you most? Are these the things that break your heart? Now, losing a loved one can break your heart, but there's usually some kind of closure and you realize that you need to go on. I submit to you that the things that cause people the most grief, worry, and concern are those situations and circumstances that involve human relationships and ultimately our relationship with God. These are the things that wrinkle, crack, and break the heart. Solomon writes about this, that a wounded spirit, who can bear it? But when the husband or wife announces that he or she wants a divorce, when the son or daughter says that they are on drugs, when you learn that people are falsely accusing you, when you learn that your best friend has betrayed you, when you learn and you fill in the blank of anything that has to do with human relationships, these are the things that wound the spirit and wring out the heart. As one author wrote, you know you're getting older by the wrinkles in your heart. I think that most of us can say that our hearts have been wrung out so many times, it's bound to be wrinkled. Solomon writes, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Then he writes, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Proverbs 18:14. But when all these things are going on, it's difficult to have a merry heart and control your emotions. The kingdom of God will help the peoples of the world restore their weary hearts and broken spirits. The kingdom of God will usher in a new age in which the hearts, minds, and emotions of humankind will be relieved of worry, anxiety, guilt, suffering, pain, and shame. The broken hearts and minds of the peoples of the world can only be restored, can only be healed by the waters of God's great, soothing, healing spirit. Remember the Bible definition of the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Bible definition clearly states that the kingdom of God is spiritual in nature. In fact, the Bible definition negates the physical and exalts the spiritual. The kingdom is righteousness. The law of God defines righteousness. As stated in Psalm 119 and verse 172, all your commandments are righteousness. So it's safe to say that the constitution of the kingdom of God will be God's immutable spiritual law. Psalm 19 and verse 7 states, the law of God is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the eternal is sure, making wise the simple. If the law of God is perfect, it cannot be improved upon. It cannot be done away with, because the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14 that the law is spiritual. So the law is perfect. The law is spiritual. It is the guide whereby we can come to understand God's character and how we should conduct our lives, and yet we have people saying that the law of God is done away with. No, the law of God in and of itself cannot justify you. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, faith in his sacrifice, can justify you. But Christ came to save us out of our sins, not in our sins. And one of the first things he said about entering into the kingdom is to repent. He also said to humble yourselves and become as little children. In the kingdom of God, the peoples of the world will be immersed in God's true educational system. There won't be any debates over the separation of church and state. The heart and core of the curriculum will be based on the Word of God. The world will come to know what it says in Psalm 100 and verse 3. Know you that the Eternal, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. No, we're not the result of any kind of blind evolutionary process, not the result of any kind of laws of chance whereby certain things came together after aeons of trial and error. No, God created human beings for a great purpose, that is, to share His glory in the kingdom of God. The peoples of the world in the kingdom of God will assemble on the weekly and annual holy days, on the seventh day Sabbath and the annual holy days, to be taught the way of God. Notice what it says, Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Eternal, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says the Eternal. This is after the establishment of the new heavens and the new earth. And yet there are people who want to say that God did away with the Sabbath and the annual holy days. In Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, in that time the peoples of the world will go up to Jerusalem, and they will be taught the way of God. For out of Zion shall go forth the law of God, and the word of God from Jerusalem. And the nations are going to beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Indeed, we need to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Will you experience the righteousness, joy, and peace of that time? The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. There's not a great deal of joy and peace in the world today, but you can become a recipient of God's joy and peace. Joy stems from righteousness, and righteousness stems from obeying the Word of God. All your commandments are righteousness. Joy is a feeling of exultation, a sense that all is well within your mind and being. It's a sense of peace in which you can sense that all is well between you and God, your family, and your neighbor. And you can begin to experience that right now. All you have to do is to call our toll-free number and begin to open the pages of your Bible. And until next time, this is Donald Borg for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. Be sure to be tuned to this same station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. And call our toll-free number for the free literature. The free literature, the Bible study course, and Jesus Christ, the real story, will be sent to you free of charge, no follow-up, no one will call on you. The toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And until next time, this is Donald Ward for World News and Prophecy.